Hey everybody, on this very fine Sabbath day, fifth day of the days of unleavened bread, going by very, very fast it seems. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, when my mother first started coming to the church, I don't know, I guess I was 11 years old, that first time that we did the days of unleavened bread, I thought I was going to die. You know, cakes and cookies, you know, where are they? And now it just goes by so fast, I don't even hardly think about it. But when you're younger, it's a different story. Okay, good to see everybody here. Just to defend Lonnie and Bertie here for just a moment. They were up north in the Jonesboro area, and he spoke up there this morning. So he's come here this afternoon to be with us and not just coming here at the last minute. So got to defend them here a little bit. The deliverance of Israel from Egypt by God was for a reason and teaches us many lessons. One great lesson we learn is that God wants a relationship with His people. He expressed that to ancient Israel, and He wants a relationship with us as disciples as well. Please turn to Exodus chapter 3 to begin the sermon today. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read a section of scripture where God is talking to Moses, giving him instructions to go to the children of Israel, and talking about that relationship that he would have with the children of Israel. And within that relationship, he would demonstrate what he would do for his people. Exodus chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse number 7. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. Notice God called them my people, noting a special relationship that he had with them. And he had seen the slavery and the oppression that they were enduring under the Egyptians. Continuing on, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Verse number 8, this is what God's going to do within that special relationship with his people. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all those that were occupying the promised land. Verse number 9, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And God was moved by what was going on with Israel. Verse number 10, here's what he's going to do. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God was talking to Moses, and he's giving him instructions to go back to Israel, and God is going to deliver them. Notice he calls them my people, that he's going to bring them out of Egypt. Israel was no longer a family. When Jacob first came to Egypt, fleeing the famine, the terrible famine that was in the land, they were a family, they were a large family. But they had grown and multiplied and had become a nation. And God called them my people. Now let's jump over to chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, and pick it up in verse number 22. Exodus 4, verse 22. Again, more instructions from God to Moses. Verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So, God is calling Israel in this relationship, my son. A father-son relationship. Verse number 23. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. So Moses was to give instructions to Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. As God puts it, that he may serve me. In other words, God was calling Israel to worship him. and to develop a special relationship with him. Now, I think that all of us, as disciples, would like to consider all the ways that we can build upon our relationship with our great God. Talking about our study of the Scriptures, his Word in our lives, our talking to him in our prayer life, our fellowship with people of like mind, building a relationship with our Creator. But did you know that there's even another way that we can strengthen our relationship with God during these days of unleavened bread? During these days of unleavened bread. Hold your place here in Exodus, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Put a marker or a piece of paper or something, finger in Exodus, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Paul writing to the brethren in Corinth, talking about what the children of Israel had been going through. What they did go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, again talking to the church, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Obviously talking about what happened with the children of Israel, their deliverance from Egypt, and how they had been, God had provided a miracle for them. They passed through the waters of the Red Sea, and we know that Pharaoh and his armies were drowned. Verse 3, all ate that same spiritual food and that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Time and time again, God performed miracles for the children of Israel. And we've been talking about that as we've gone through this Bible study series in Exodus. The children of Israel had great promises and privileges that God had given to them, like no nation ever on the face of this earth. And yet, they failed. They failed greatly. Let's drop down to verse number 11. Now all these things, talking about the children of Israel and what happened to them, all these things happened to them as examples. And notice, and they were written for our admonition. Written for our admonition, these examples from the book of Exodus and what happened to the children of Israel. For us to reflect upon, learn the lessons from the story of the ancient Israel. And this helps strengthen our relationship with our Creator God. By asking, as we're studying, how did Israel fail? Why did Israel fail? And what can I learn from that and apply the lessons in my life? That's how we learn. Let's go back now to Exodus chapter 6. The book of Exodus once again. This time to chapter 6 and verse number 7. God was confirming the covenant that he had made with Abraham and what he would do for his people. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 7. I will take you as my people. There's that relationship again. And I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And God would demonstrate his power by the mighty miracles that he would perform so that Israel could be freed from their slavery. God's desire was to have them, the children of Israel, be his people. And that would be demonstrated by his deliverance, by him delivering them from their slavery. And he would do that by his mighty power, that he has. Today's sermon title is Reflecting on God's Works. Reflecting on God's Mighty Works. Today we will learn the value of reflecting on God's works and its significance for us during the days of unleavened bread. God performed mighty works, miracles for the children of Israel. And there are lessons that we can learn from that story. During these days of unleavened bread, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt teaches us many lessons, including the need for God's help and intervention as we battle our own human nature. Before the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, it was a time of examination, to be examining our lives and the things, the course corrections that we need to make. But we are human beings. We have human nature. We're weak. But God is powerful. And he did mighty works for the children of Israel. And he's there for us as well. We need his help in our battle with our human nature. You know, Israel, ancient Israel, they just never did get it. They saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle, but they did not have the correct faith and trust in God like they should have. You know, it's been interesting as I've been going through this Bible study series, especially when we went through chapter 12, where they all the chapters dealing with the miracles, their deliverance from slavery, Exodus chapter 12, coming out with a high hand, passing through the Red Sea, the miracle that took place there, and time again, Israel complained. You know, there they were in front of the Red Sea waters, and they saw Pharaoh's army coming. Oh, we're all in trouble. They forgot what God could do for them. God performs the miracle. They pass through the Red Sea. 3 days into the journey, they start complaining. Oh, we don't have any water. And you know, I would look out in the audience at many of you, and some of you were just shaking your heads. Like, how could that be? They had seen time and time again God's miracles, his power. And yet, they forgot, and they didn't have the faith and the trust that they should have with God. And that's a lesson for all of us. Let's go back to verse number 1 of chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 1. Again, the covenant with Abraham being confirmed and what God would do for his people as he's talking to Moses. Verse number 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. And I can't emphasize enough that phrase. Pharaoh was the most powerful individual on the planet at that time, ruling over the most powerful country in the world, ancient Egypt at that time. And God is going to take care of Pharaoh. Verse continuing on, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. In other words, with that last miracle, the 10th plague, Pharaoh's even going to say, all of you get out. Get out of here. Verse number 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers, a special covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse number 5, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And notice, and I have remembered my covenant. You know what? I've talked about the fact that when Moses was in the land of Midian, when he was receiving the instructions from God to go back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, he was 80 years of age. 80 years of age at that time. That means from the time that he was born until those 80 years, all the children of Israel that were born during that time, all that they knew for all their life was slavery. In fact, 120 years had gone by from the time when the Pharaoh who did not know Joseph took power and the time of the Exodus. And many of those people, all they knew for all their life was the taskmaster's whip and being slaves. And God says, I remembered my covenant, special covenant I have with my people. Continuing on, verse number 6. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Of course, those great judgments being the 10 plagues that God would send against the Egyptians. There's 3 promises here in verse number 6 that God explains to Moses for the children of Israel. He says, I will bring you out. I will rescue you, and I will redeem you. A relationship between God and his people and what he would do for them. And God did perform what he said he would do. So this relationship is something that we can learn from, we can reflect upon. We can look back on these stories, the history of ancient Israel, to see what God did for them. And that should strengthen our relationship with God. He was there for his people Israel. And we're his people today. God called us out of the world to have a special relationship with him, to grow in character, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, to keep the days that we're keeping, the Sabbath day and the holy days. And we have that special relationship with him. And God is there for us. And we need his help as we battle our human nature and in overcoming. And God can work mighty works for us as well. God's power in deliverance, the miracles over and over for the children of Israel, teaches us a lesson to teach us to seek his help with our battles that we face on a daily basis. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. This was after they had come out of Egypt on actually the first day of unleavened bread. They're about to make their first stop, their first encampment at Succoth, and God continues to give them instructions on this very first day of unleavened bread. Notice Exodus chapter 13, and let's pick it up in verse number 3. We'll be reflecting here as we read these verses on what we've been doing this whole week, these days of unleavened bread. Verse number 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And how did they come out of that powerful land? For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. And we recalled that event on the night to be observed when Israel came out of Egypt with a high hand. And some of those that only knew slavery for all their life, they were finally free. And not only that, they were paid for their services as they spoiled the Egyptians with gold and silver and many fine articles, etc. It was God's strength of hand that delivered them. Then he adds the last part of verse number 3. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Leaven represents sin. Leaven also represents Egypt. God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Leaven representing sin teaches us a lesson that we need to come out of sin, get it out of our lives. And that's what we are reflecting upon during these days of unleavened bread. Teaches us a lesson. Verse number 4, on this day you're going out in the month Abib. Verse number 5, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. Verse number 6, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. And we'll be keeping that in just a couple days from now, on Monday, the last day of unleavened bread. Verse number 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. Again, teaches us a lesson. Verse number 8. And you shall tell your son in that day, you know, when he comes asking, why are we doing these things, Father? This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. Reflecting on God's mighty hand, his power, his delivering power, and what he did for me. Verse number 9, and it shall be a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. And that same strong hand, that power of God is there for us. And God would love to hear us ask him humbly, I need your help with this situation that I'm dealing with, what I'm trying to overcome. And I've been reflecting upon it during these days, and I need your mighty hand to help me. And then God adds in verse number 10, "You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year." Reflecting upon what God has done has a positive effect for us. And we can be learning these lessons during these days. There's another important key now in building and strengthening our relationship with God. Let's notice Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we're reflecting upon God's mighty hand, His mighty power, which helps strengthen our relationship. Another important key, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's read verses 20 through 25. This passage pictures an Israelite family sharing the Passover meal and teaching the children about what it all means. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's pick it up in verse number 20. "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt.'" And how did He do that? "With a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household." And you know what? I can imagine a young boy listening to his father, and he knows what Egypt was and the power that they had in the ancient Middle East in those days and times. Really? Pharaoh, mighty Pharaoh, was brought down, and God delivered them. Verse 23, "Then He brought us out from there, that He might bring us in to give us the land which He swore to our fathers." Verse 24, here's what I want to, 24 and 25, this is what I want to focus on. "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day." Verse 25, "Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us." Previously to this, God had given to the children of Israel, those that would go into the promised land, the Ten Commandments was repeated over again to them. And the emphasis is being made to observe the statutes and the commandments that God had given to them. And that's another key, important key in strengthening our relationship with God, our obedience to our eternal Creator. This phrase here, righteousness, it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments, is describing a right relationship with God for obedience. A right relationship with God for obedience, and it will be righteousness for us. God is the one who initiates the relationship. He calls us. He opens our mind to understand His Word and His truth. Then it's up to us to respond, using the Holy Spirit, so that we can grow in character. All of the future generations of Israel were to talk about God's mighty hand and His works, so that they could reflect upon and realize that God was there for them as well. And He's there for us. And that's what we are learning during these days of unleavened bread. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. Again, this sermon a little bit on the shorter side because we have the Bible study to follow. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78 is an interesting chapter. It's a history of the children of Israel and what they went through, some of the problems that they went through, and the things that happened to them along the way. Psalm chapter 78, and let's pick it up in verse number 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. "Give ear, O my people, to my law." Now this phrase, "give ear," is talking about the fact that there's an important subject that's about to follow. Listen, in other words. Then, the last part of verse number 1, "incline your ears to the words of my mouth." That phrase, incline your ears, means more than just to listen, but to learn the lessons from what is about to follow. Learn the lessons from the story that's about to be repeated. And not to repeat the failure of so many past generations. Verse number 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. And the children were to continue to pass that on from in a tradition way to the succeeding generations so that they could reflect upon God's mighty works. Verse number 10, let's drop down there. They did not keep the covenant of God. And we can read that from the history as well. They refused to walk in His law. And verse number 11, and this is a telling tale of Israel, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. And again, we shake our heads as we read those accounts. How could it be? You know, when they just seen the Red Sea part in front of them and Pharaoh's armies, mighty armies, destroyed after having seen the 10 plagues that had taken place, their release from slavery. And they forgot. They forgot of what God had done for them. Let's continue on. Marvelous things, verse 12, He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, the 10 plagues that took place. Verse 13, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and in the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like the rivers. The many miracles that He did as they went through the desert. Verse 17, But they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. We'll talk about that more when we come to Exodus chapter 32. And they tested God, verse 18, in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. And they said, Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? You know, is He really going to feed us the things that we want? Verse 20, Behold, He struck the rock so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Then they asked, Can He give us bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? Therefore, verse 21, The Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. In verse 22, this is a key verse now. Because here sums it up, the problem that ancient Israel had. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. And that's a great, great lesson for all of us. Especially as we are battling the things that we're battling in our lives. The things that we're trying to overcome. That God is there for us. We have to trust in Him. That He can deliver us. He has that power. And we can't forget it. And we have to keep that in our minds. And of course, going along with obedience to Him and His laws. Just as God helped Israel, He can help us in our battles. And we need God's help. And we have that available to us through His Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A couple more scriptures as we wind down here now. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a section of scripture where many armies, many mighty nations were assembled against the nation of Judah. And they were coming up against Judah. King Jehoshaphat is informed that these nations are coming up against him and against the nation. And Jehoshaphat did something incredible. He turned to God. Turned to God. Called a fast day. And for all the people to assemble and pray to God for His help in their time of need. 2 Chronicles, let's take a look at this story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Verse 2. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi. In other words, they're approaching very rapidly. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. And what did he do? Set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So he knew the tremendous army that was coming up against him and that Judah was outnumbered and that they needed God's help in this terrible situation. He calls for a fast throughout the land, and he gathers all the people together. Verse 4, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then we find in the next verses that Joshua, in this prayer of seeking God's help with all the people around him, he's asking for God's mercy in their time of need. Then let's drop down to verse number 14. God actually answers this prayer of all the people. Of course, they had been fasting as well. And he reveals something through one of his prophets here. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Let's drop down to verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You've put it in God's hands. He's going to deliver you. That's what was told to the people as they were all assembled together and listening to what God had said through this particular individual, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. The battle is not yours. It's God's. All of us have our battles. Sin is a battle. Our human nature, overcoming our problems, is a battle. But we can see and learn from the examples that we have before us that God is for his people and for those who love him. And we can take those battles before him. And he'd love to hear that from us. Finally, let's go to Psalm chapter 40. In closing, Psalm chapter 40. And let's read verses 4 and 5. Psalm chapter 40. Verse number 4. Blessed, and we could say happy, is the man or the woman who makes the Lord their trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Putting our trust in God in our time of need and not going down the wrong path or being twisted to go the wrong way. Verse number 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works. And we have those examples, and we've been reading about them in the book of Exodus in this Bible study series. And we can continue to read during these days of unleavened bread. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's mighty works, his mighty hand, his power is there for us. We have the opportunity to study, to meditate, and to learn the lesson from ancient Israel about God's mighty hand and what he did for them and how he can help us with our battle to overcome. When we do this, when we reflect upon God's mighty works, we strengthen our relationship with our Father in heaven. So let's continue as we go forward in these days of unleavened bread to reflect upon God's mighty works, not only during these days, but in the days and months ahead throughout this year. And let's really learn to trust in our great God for His help in our lives to overcome and to help us in our battles so that we can go forward towards the kingdom.